obedience to God and to what is righteousness or what is right. So that's the kind of life I had. So here I am trying to make sense of things in the dark, but holding my steps, not stepping ahead of my father. I never wanted to step ahead of my father. Never stepping ahead of him to draw my own conclusions against what he was telling us. I didn't do that until I got older, and he then influenced me again. He gave us Arabic teachers from Jordan, from the Palestinian, he was a Palestinian, to teach us Arabic so we would learn how to read the Quran in Arabic. My father gave us this help in Chicago, in the University of Islam, the school that he developed and kept for us, for the young boys and girls of the Nation of Islam. So I attended that school, and I learned from this Palestinian, Jamil Diab, who was Professor Jamil Diab back then. Now he's Dr. Jamil Diab. He's an old man now, living in Tempe, Arizona, and he's turned over the responsibility of the mosque. He finally got his own mosque. He was a real estate, dealing in real estate, really buying old property, rehabbing it, and selling it. So he was doing well when my father met him. And he was also selling some other products, I forget what it was, when my father met him. But he finally retired from that work, and he became the imam of the Tempe Mosque in Arizona. But his health, his years, his age, and his health won't permit him to have that responsibility now. He turned it over to his son that was a boy, a little boy, in Chicago when he was with my father, working for my father in the Nation of Islam. So his son has that responsibility now. His son's name is Shakir. And by the way, my son wanted to be named Shakir. So I have asked the lawyers to change his name. I understand that August the 4th, I think, he will be legally Muhammad Shakir Muhammad. That's the name he wanted. Shakir means thankful, and he's thankful by nature. That's his nature, to be thankful. Very thankful young boy. So I told him that's the name that you should have. It's the name that your nature is, that says your nature, what your nature is, and that's thankful. So anyway, this darkness, conflicts and darkness, ugly darkness, standing in the way, then you get some light from the Word of God, from His revelation, from His scripture. I got some light from reading the Quran, not only in English, but I began to read it a little bit in its original language that it was revealed in, Arabic. So I began to get some help. And I began to see things that told me the only way you're going to be at peace, you're going to have to either find a way to explain the things that are conflicting or going against what this holy book is saying that your father have taught you or the Nation of Islam gave you, or you're going to have to just completely just drop it and say all this stuff is not for Islam, not for Muslims, and just throw it aside. At one point, I almost came to that point at one point in my own life or the development in my progression, in my life studies and development. But something wouldn't let me do it. I just put it aside. I put the problems aside. In time, I want to get rid of this because we don't have this much time for this. And I want to go through this quickly. But for me, this is important because I'm looking at Muslims, and most of you I'm looking at, you know my father, and most of you are indebted to my father in some way. So I know I am. Most of you are indebted to him in some way. So I want you, I don't want to die, and I don't feel like I'm going to die. You'd be surprised. I'm in pretty good shape. But I know I can die anytime. I don't want to die and not attend these sensitive areas for us. Conflict for the person who wants to follow me as their leader, but they also are appreciative and feel indebted to my father, and they don't want to have peace or conflict, peace broken or conflict broken for their relationship with the two of us, with both of us. And I don't want that either. I want you to feel at peace. loving and appreciating my Father, and if you will, love and appreciate me too. That's what I want. So that's why I work on these areas in the understanding. So I came to the conclusion that certain things I had to break from, and I couldn't understand it. I'll tell you the truth, at the time I couldn't understand it. When I started out in 1975, I couldn't understand why these terrible conflicts had to be. I believed that there was good intent in the teaching of my Father, and I believed that my Father was a faithful, sincere, obedient servant of his teacher. I believed that. I saw that. So I accepted that. Now, but here I am seeing something in his teachings now that with my understanding of the Holy Book, Quran, now I can't accept it. And then I look at the picture of his teacher, the only picture he left to be made available to us is a picture of him holding the Quran. And he's looking down in it, looking down upon his pages, very piously, with great respect. His pause, his picture, tells me, when I look at it, here is a man having great respect for the book he's holding. And then I read in his own teachings where he said, work out certain problems, and your reward for working out these problems will be this, will be that. But the greatest reward, he said, is a family Quran. A family Quran. A holy Quran. So here's a man that looked up and he thought it was the highest prize for his student to get is a holy Quran. So I can't accept that this man is intentionally going against the holy Quran. So I live with these conflicts for all those years, 10, 20, 15 years. I lived with all those conflicts and finally came to devote myself to studying his works and his mind. His mind. See, you can know a man's mind by examining and studying his works. So I came to study his works, but with the aim of really understanding his mind. And God bless me to unlock the puzzle, to unlock the locks, or to solve the puzzle. And I came to accept him then as a person who created darkness to make us fight our way into the light, or created darkness to make us struggle for the light. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. Here's a man that followed in the methodology of the wise of the Bible, who did the same thing, created darkness to make you struggle for the light. And I think we have to repeat what I said earlier, and God is the one who brings light out of darkness and darkness out of the light. Now to us, that darkness was light, wasn't it? We wouldn't accept that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us or gave us was darkness. We would say he gave us the light, plain truth, we said. Yes, so for us that was light. But God brought us out of that light into the darkness of faith. Huh? And we followed his son upon faith, didn't we? And then he brought us again from the darkness of faith into the light of knowledge. See how we have the experiences on this earth that God talks about in Scripture? We've experienced it. And this is no small thing. This is a great thing that a people have been so placed in the world that no one could place them in the place where they belong except God. Then God came us and took us out of that bad place that the world gave us. And he took us by the way of Scripture, by the way of divine revelation. He took us by the methodology and the logic that we find in Scripture. He took us out of what we thought was light and placed us into darkness, just as a sperm goes from a man that lives in the light, and his sperm is placed in the darkness of a woman's womb, and it stays there for 9 months and is delivered into the light. How wonderful it is. Can you hand me those glasses over there? They should, no, I'm sorry. I got them in my pocket. I'm going to seek and leave. Walk right through this in a hurry now. Good sense life. God wants us to have good sense life. And God gives us a parable of the life. Says it's like a plant. Like a plant. And you know any plant. I take a tree. The tree is rooted down into the earth, and from the depths it collects moisture, water. Little things, little shallow penetrators into the penetration into the earth, like grass. It dies and turns yellow when dryness and heat comes. But the tree remains green because it's stronger and longer and deeper penetration goes down and get water beneath the shallow level. Beneath the shallow level goes down deep and gets water that the grass roots cannot reach. And that tree is balanced. It's balanced. And it shows a logic. It developed from a seed, and its pattern is logical. It sends branches out in every direction so it can support its weight and not fall. If it sent branches out in one side and not in the other side, it would lean and probably break and not live. But it sends the branches out all around so that it's balanced as it's growing. Balanced as it is growing. And God says, and he made everything from water. And we know that water seeks its level. Water wants to be on the level at all times. But it will struggle if it has to. It will struggle against ice, against freezing. That's scientific. It struggles against freezing. It is the only substance or material that resists being frozen. When water, just before it comes to the freezing point to be solid, it expands. When it expands, it becomes more porous, so it permits air to come into it, ice that is. It resists instead of contracting like other things do until hard as it can be. It will resist being solidified at the freezing point by expanding. This is scientific. You can ask science about this if you don't trust W.D. Muhammad. Okay? Yes. And water seeks a level, seeks to be level. So the roots, God says, and he created, I just saw it in the wonderful museum, Islamic museum of this community that we just toured, had a tour guide of it, and I hope to come back many times with my family to tour the museum more. Because it is a great message of Islamic, true Islamic history, Muslim life, a great message of that, and worthy of research by students from college and other levels beneath, below high school. Anyway, what I want to say is this, that God says in our holy book, and he began and every living thing from water. Every living thing, it says, from water. So here we have a parable of human life given in a plant. And water is symbolic of faith. Faith. Symbolic of more than that. Symbolic of your first spirituality. But it's symbolic also of faith. Of the psyche. The psyche. Human psyche. Or a mind that is not in charge, in our charge. The psyche is our mind, but it's not in our charge. Well, that's too much to talk about. I won't go in. That's enough to say about the psyche. Yes. So anyway, the life, the seed, has to first receive moisture, water. And I said water wants balance. Water wants to be at peace, wants to be on the level. And it structures itself downward and then upward. It goes down to get a good hold on the earth that it is in. So you see, that's a logic, isn't it? Can't you see that's intelligent? That's a logic. That's intelligent. It's intelligent to anchor something that you're going to structure high up in the air. It's intelligent, and intelligence and logic, to anchor it deep enough to support the height you're going to put on it. And God created that logic. So God says he had made us like a plant to first be grounded in faith and then swell and burst into life and send our anchors down deep enough to hold the height we want to ascend and branch out in a consistent way so that we don't put too much weight on one side. Do you love this? I do, because it causes us to think, and it takes us from the faulty thinking of just random living. And God does not want for us random life or random living. God wants for us a good life, a life of good sense. Praise is due to God. Allahu Akbar. Now, I was watching on C-SPAN a recording of Urban League's conference they had.